Happy Mother's Day. It's good to be part of this family. Can I read you some scripture quickly? 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. This is Paul talking to one of his good pals, Timothy, one of the guys who he raised up, who he mentored, who he loved, who he empowered to lead. And he says this, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice." Hello, does anyone know a Eunice around here? "And I am persuaded now lives in you also." I love when Paul is going to talk to Timothy, and he wants to tell him that he's proud of him, he's proud of who he is, he's excited about his faith, he's glad for where he's come in life, and he can't say it without talking about Lois and Eunice. He can't talk about it without talking about grandmother and mother, the ones who have carried the faith, the ones who have passed on the faith, the ones who have believed in him and empowered him and taught him. And the same is true for a church. The same is true for our family, that the young people are going to become who they're going to become based on how the moms and the dads, the grandmothers, the grandfathers empower and release and believe in and trust for the coming generation. I want to talk quickly about two mother models that we have in this church that are different than maybe what we've normally thought of as specific mothers. Sometimes Mother's Day comes around and we think just biological moms, that's all we can think about. People who have had kids physically and have raised those kids physically, and that's that. And I want to sort of expand that for us. One of the special things for us is that we're part of a church. And when we're part of a church, that means we're part of a family. And when we're part of a family, there's lots of moms and there's lots of dads and there's lots of grandpas and grandmas who all invest in the coming generations. And I actually heard coming up to this week that there were some people who said, "I'm not going to come to a Mother's Day service because I feel like I've failed as a mom." Or another one, I can't come to a Mother's Day service because I'm unable to have kids. My body will not allow me to have kids, and so I can't come to a Mother's Day service because I feel down when I think about that. I'm not happy about that. And I want to tell you that mothering is so much different or so much more and broader than just having a biological child and trying to raise that child. There's something bigger than that. And so I want to just tell you about two people that I love having as part of this church. One of them is named Bernadette Pitcher. Does anyone know Bernadette? She's sitting back there if you want to chat with her after. But Bernadette and Mike, they don't have kids of their own. And then they decided that they should have over 200. Bernadette is the director, the principal, the overseer of Phil and Jenny Gagliardi Academy. And when I watch what's going on at that school, I'm so amazed. I talk about it everywhere. If you are trying to consider where your kid should go to school, I think you should really consider Phil and Jenny Gagliardi Academy. There's an incredible culture there. There's something really special that's going on in that school in Comox. And it has so much to do with the mothering touch that comes from Bernadette in that school. There's all these kids. I'm often there, and there's these kids in rooms mad and cranky and not doing well, and all these other teachers are coming in, and we can't figure out what to do for this kid. We don't know what to do, and we don't know how to make them happy. We don't know how to make them behave, and it's amazing how often Bernadette will walk in and come out 2 minutes later, and they're just peaceful and fine and happy. She knows how to care. She knows how to love. She knows how to invest. She knows how to encourage. And because of that, there's all of these kids who are going to have a richer understanding of faith, a richer understanding of who Jesus is and what love looks like in their life. That's a mom. That's a mom in our church. That's a mom in our community. Our community and our church will look different because of the mothering touch of someone who doesn't have her own kids but decided to be a mom anyways. And so I'm so thankful for Bernadette. And the other person I want to mention, I don't think she's at this service, she might be at the next, is Sandra Naswell. Sandra is a great friend of ours. Actually, Sandra, she's led a lot of our prayer ministry at this church for a long time, and she does have three kids of her own, biological kids. But she has such a willing heart to invest in other kids. She had, at some points, her and her husband Ken have had up to 5 foster kids in their house, maybe more than that, because they believe that getting these kids in their house, well, they'll be able to teach them and love them in ways that these kids aren't able to be loved otherwise. When kids don't have a mom and a dad, then all of a sudden Christians, people who know the love of Jesus, can step in and start to love those kids. I don't know if there's any greater way to shape a culture. I'm not sure if there's any greater way that we would change the world than by taking these young people in who don't know the love of a mom or a dad, and actually they can find it with us. Wouldn't that be amazing? While Sandra was doing that, she found out that we were looking for childcare at one point, and she took our kids into her house as well. Isn't that amazing? She had like 5 foster kids. She's got these other grown-up kids, and then she's taking our kids in. Just like, let's just do it all. We just want to love and care for and believe in. And Sandra has just made such an incredible impact on our kids. They want to read this one story every week. It's called The Bucket Filler Story or something like that. And Sandra, I just read a note in it this week. Can we read the Bucket Filler book? You'll just have to go check it out and find out what it is for yourself. But I look in it, and Sandra has written a note to our kids in there. She started mothering our kids. I'm so thankful that Kendall's not the only mom to our kids, that I'm not the only dad to our kids, but our kids have a family in the church. And there are other people who want to invest in our kids too. Other people who want to care for our kids. I'm so glad that moms aren't in the church aren't just about their biological kids, but they're about the next coming generation, about the young ones who are coming up that need the love of people, that need the love of adults. I've started thinking, I used to coach basketball in an inner city school in Victoria, and when I'd go to those basketball games, there'd be no parents that would come out for our kids. Imagine if those kids all of a sudden found their way into a church, and then they got 20 adults that would go out and say, I'm going to come and cheer you on. I'm just going to come and watch you, and I'm going to wave a banner. I'm going to do whatever I can, paint my face and do all the stuff. I'm going to cheer you on because your mom or your dad maybe aren't around, but you still have a mom and a dad. You still got people who are going to invest in you. You still have ones who care about your future. Mother's Day is much bigger than just us celebrating the biological moms. Now, don't let me take that away from you. Yeah, thank you for those who have wiped bums and have not slept through the night because they're up with their kids, and who have walked through fevers and sickness and spit ups and all of that stuff. Thank you to you. But also thank you to the ones who have just decided, I'm going to invest. I believe in the next. I believe in the ones who are coming. I believe in the ones who are behind us, and I'm going to invest in them. The challenge for our culture is sometimes we've made motherhood more about being a mom than about raising kids. We've made it more about, well, now I'm a mom. Hurrah. And we forgot to actually raise the kids. Has anyone heard of mommy wars? No? No one's heard of mommy wars? Thank you for staying off social media and avoiding all those things. Probably busy reading your Bible. Thank you, Lord. Mommy Wars is this thing that was actually, it's online, and it's basically like mommy shaming. And so the funny thing about motherhood is, as soon as you become a mom, all of a sudden you invite, whether you knew it or not, a whole bunch of opinions of every mom who's gone before you, and every mom who's going right now, and every person who's ever read a book about being a mom. It's funny how it works. Mommy wars is this idea of moms going at it, judging each other, comparing each other about who knows the best way, who gets to be the most perfect mom, who knows the right way to be a mom, who has all of the correct answers on how to be a mom. But the problem is, if motherhood is more about being a mom than raising kids, these kids aren't getting raised. Moms are just showing off to each other. But the kids need to be raised. I don't know, when Kendall and I first found out we were having Isabella, we realized what these mommy wars were all about. People quickly ask you questions. So even in the name, what's the name? What do you guys have some names in mind? And at first we were like, wow, that's a great thought. That's so nice. They want to know about our kids' names. Okay, we'll just tell them some names. Yeah, you know, whatever, Lightning. Just kidding. Well, at first you're sort of like, yeah, Lightning would be good. But you say your name, and they're like, Oh, yeah, you know, George. Pastor George. Oh, yeah, George. We know George is going to be our child's name. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I've known a George before. Real annoying. Yeah, you know. People start throwing, oh, okay, so you don't like George? Well, no, it's not that I don't like it. I would just never, ever in a million years name my child that. But go ahead. Do what you're going to do. You know, people have all these opinions all of a sudden. It's like when my wife becomes pregnant, all of a sudden everyone gets to talk to her about everything about a child. So what's your diet plan now? Well, we've been doing this and we've been, oh, really? Yeah, you're eating that, hey? Costco hot dogs, hey? No? You're okay with that? You're okay with killing your child inside of you? You know, people all of a sudden have these opinions that they just get to share. So, doctor or midwife? Well, we've sort of gone with a doctor. Ah, okay, yeah. So you don't really like human emotion, you know? Yeah. You just like the scientific world. You don't want people who care for you. You'd rather people who are just gonna, you know, pull a baby out of you and then that's it. Is that what you want? Well, we thought doctors were okay, you know. I didn't know doctors were enemies of society, right? Like you don't know. And then the stories about the baby come along. So tell me about your birthing story, you know. Everyone and the men are like, why don't we not talk about that? Actually, it was bad enough to do it once. Why do we have to relive that time? We've got a baby. This isn't about the birth. It's about the baby, isn't it? Though, tell me about your birthing story. Was it just magical, you know? And I'm thinking, no, I don't think so. The Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. It was no Disneyland, that's for sure. So was it? Did you go in naturally and tell us about that? Well, actually, no. We went over time, and so we had to get things started. They had to start things for us. Oh, yeah. Ooh, you know. So I'm assuming you wanted to do it without drugs, right? Did you get no drugs? Well, actually, we went there. Oh, you did. Hey, you want drugs? Ha, huh, yeah. So you actually didn't actually feel the birth, and you don't actually know what it's like to have a baby then, right? Is that what it is? Come on, this is mommy shaming. This happens all the time. These are the mommy wars. Then the baby comes out, and there's all sorts of new things. So tell me, what's breastfeeding like? Well, it hasn't really worked for us. We went bottle. You went bottle. Hey, huh? You don't want to be attached to your child at all? Like, you don't want an emotional connection? Like, there's all this stuff. They're like all of these things, right? Do you eat organically, or do you like pumping your child full of chemicals? You tell us what, which one do you like? Cloth diapers or non? Do you co-sleep or no? Like, do you like making your child to? And neither is the right answer either. Every person you talk to is different. Do you like co-sleeping? Oh, yes, we do. Oh, okay, so you like creating a dependent child who will never know what it's like to be independent. Hey, oh, actually, no, we don't like co-sleeping. No, we don't. We don't do that. Oh, okay, so you like a lonely child who will never know. Like, what are we supposed to say here, you know? So what do you do when your baby cries at nighttime? You know, your baby cries at nighttime. What do you do? How long do you guys wait? Well, actually, we're doing the cry-out method, and we're letting them cry it out. Oh, okay, yeah. So just creating a little bit of emotional instability in your child, right? Or think, oh, no, we go right away. Oh, okay, so creating an entitled child. Like, there's no good. There's no right. There's no perfect. Everyone's got a different opinion. So did you get to stay at home as a mom? No, we have to work, and we're both having a job. Oh, okay, yeah. Does your kid know your name? You know? You just get the mommy wars are crazy. Everyone has an opinion. Has anyone seen the movie Babies? There's this movie called Babies, and they actually watch the first year of babies in four different countries. And it's just crazy how different they are. It's just insane how different. Like, there's some of these babies, if you watch the trailer, it's actually these two African babies who are like hammering on things and doing work. They can't even talk, and they're like doing work. And one bites the other, one grabs the other's hair, all this stuff. And no one comes and helps at all. And then you've got this other baby in San Francisco, and everything's like so careful, coddled, just watch out. Then there's this other baby, I think it's in Cambodia or something, and it's laying there, and there's a goat walking like over top of it. a chicken, like walking in and like, you know, going to the bathroom all around it, doing all this stuff. And everyone in North America is like, what are they doing? You know, what is going on? You can't do that. That just doesn't work. That's not how you mother. Mommy wars are a real thing. And so moms are left just trying to figure out how to be the best mom. I want to be the best mom. I want to do the right thing. And so I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do that. I'll figure that thing out. And I just want to be seen as doing the right thing. But motherhood is not about doing the right thing. It's about raising kids. It's about investing in them. It's about caring for them. It's amazing how many kids have done just fine with all sorts of different upbringings. But the question is the mom caring for the kid, or are they trying to be the best mom? Am I trying to just show off to all my other? Pinterest and Instagram hasn't helped this, you know. Pinterest and blogs. I mean, there's all these blogs on Pinterest. Like, not only are all the mothers natural birthing, breastfeeding, co-sleeping, anti-spanking, organic eating, stay-at-home super moms, they're also running their own businesses. They're also making three incredible meals a day and putting out cookbooks and renovating their house in their spare time and leading kids' church and kids' choir and while working out twice a day. And by the way, they're rich, you know. These are the blogs that women are reading right now. Oh, let me just check out what this person's doing. Oh, renovating a new portion of their house while making an incredible meal and balancing their third child on their foot, you know. Doing these things. I can't even believe it. Oh, I wish I was a mom like that. How does she do it? She doesn't. She takes certain pictures and puts them online, shoves the mess in a corner, and takes a picture of this nice part right here. Look at my table, you know. And her bedroom is just packed with stuff, you know. But mommies are just comparing all the time. Well, how should I raise my kids? Should I do it this way? Should I do it that way? What would it look like? What am I going to fail? Am I going to do this wrong? Am I going to make a big mistake? Is it all going to come crumbling down? And if that person's doing that and I'm not doing that, is my kid going to end up okay? And am I going to be able to, I can't give the same life that person can give because they have more money and they have all this time and their husband isn't a pastor. That's what my wife sometimes thinks. They get so much money over there, and we go on Sunday and you preach. Anyways, no, I'm just kidding. We love it here. We do. We do love it here. But there's something that happened. There's a story that I wanted to read to you, and it's what's impacted me this week when I thought about Mother's Day. It's a story that I've never spoken about on a Mother's Day before or really considered previously to be a great Mother's Day story. But I think it presents the gospel in a really special way on this day. It's a story about two women, and they come before a king. And the king is King Solomon. He's said to be the wisest person who's ever walked this planet. And these two women come before the king, and basically they're finding out who is the more fit parent, who's the better mom, who is the mom of this baby that they have. So two women, one baby, one king, and they all show up, and the king is going to try to determine which mom should have this baby, which mom should go home with this baby, which mom is the one who should be taking care of this child. And I love how it starts. It says, now two prostitutes. Wait a sec. Don't you love the Bible? I love the Bible. I love the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love what our Bible does for us. Now, two prostitutes. I already told you what we're about to talk about. We're about to talk about moms and who is the most fit mom to raise this baby and who King Solomon thinks this baby needs to go home with. And most of us, right away when we read that first part, we say, no one. Got to find a foster situation. And God decides to write this story into Scripture. Decides to write this story into Solomon's history. Decides to make this one of the most prominent pieces in Solomon's rise to fame in his area. This is how it starts now. Two prostitutes. I love that. Let me tell you something. If you feel like you have not raised your kids the way you should, or couldn't raise your kids the way you should, or have some kind of background that causes you to not be a fit parent, I want to tell you something. When God decided to write about mothers, when he decided to write about how mothers will care, he starts with two prostitutes. And he's going to say, one of these prostitutes should go home with this kid and raise this child. This is the gospel. Early on in the Bible, this is what we get to see. This is something exciting for us. You think, oh, I don't make enough money. I haven't been a good mom because I don't make enough money. Two prostitutes. I don't cook enough meals. I don't clean the house enough. I don't contribute to our family enough. I don't do these things. I don't even know how to blog. I don't know how to do all this stuff. How am I ever going to be a fit mom? Yeah, I need you to know, every single time in Scripture when you see weakness, you can be reminded that God says he wants to use the weak to shame the strong. That it's through our weaknesses that we see his strength. His strength is actually perfected in our weaknesses. If today you feel like a weak mom, like you haven't done your job, like you haven't invested in who you're supposed to invest in and cared properly for those who you're supposed to care for, take courage. God writes a story into Solomon's history about two prostitutes living together. And yet he says, this one can be a mom. That's amazing. I love the Bible. Now, two prostitutes came to the king, stood before him. One of them said, pardon me, my lord. This woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born. The other woman said, no, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours. But the first one insisted, no. The dead one is yours, the living one is mine. And so they argued before the king. The king said, this one says my son is alive and your son is dead, while the other one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive. The king said, bring me a sword. If you haven't read the Bible, this is a pretty cool story. So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Then the king gave his ruling, give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. What happens here is they're standing before him. I know the context is a little bit different than what I'm talking about here as far as mommy wars. But they're both like, you can imagine them sort of pulling on an arm of this kid each. No, my baby. No, my baby. No, my baby. No, my baby. They're acting sort of childish in this. And they're trying to prove who is whose. But both of them are saying, I want the baby. I don't want to look like a failure in the community and one baby is dead. I don't want to be the one with the dead baby. I want an alive baby. I want to be the mommy who looks good and who's capable of doing great things and who's capable of being a mom. I want to do that. My baby. No, I'm the mom who knows how to raise this child. I'm going to do the best job. I'm going to take care of it. Now, both of these moms, who really aren't all that fit to be parents anyways, are saying, I'm the best to take care of this child. It's all about them. It's all about the mom at this point. It's all about her doing what she wants. I want the live baby because I want people to see me with a live baby. I don't want people to talk about me as killing my baby. And then this is the turning point in the story. Because at first they're both saying, I want the living child. And then after, the one says, I want the child to live. Slight difference, but it's a difference nonetheless. I want the living child for me, But then all of a sudden, she stops, and when she recognizes that the baby could be at risk, she says, no, I just want the child to live. It's not about me, it's about this child. It's not about what I get, it's about what this child gets. Mommying wasn't about me being a mommy anyways, it was about this child becoming who it's supposed to be. And if it's dead, it won't become who it's supposed to be. So I want this child to have life no matter what it is. And if it's life without me, it's still life, and I'm willing to do that. That's where she goes with it. The other lady goes, yeah, sure, that seems right. Cut it in half. Neither of us will be seen as very good parents. But at least I don't lose, you know. At least I don't become the worst mom in town. We're tied. We're equals. We're not that good. It's crazy that this she actually says that. She's actually okay with that. She actually thinks it's all right if we both just get half. We both call it a day, go home, have some more kids, and it'll be fine. That's not a mommy's heart. A mommy's heart is not all about being the best mommy so that other mommies will recognize it. A mommy's heart is making sure that that child that has been put in your care has the best chance at life that they can have. That they're going to have the best shot at moving forward. Listen, if there are some parents in here who feel like they're failing and don't know if they've done the best, and if they were compared across the line, if they would fall somewhere near the bottom, I have good news for you. Being a mom is not about being the best mom compared to other moms. It's about raising up the next generation. It's about caring for the next that are coming after us. It's like Lois and Eunice who are saying to Timothy, we're going to invest in you and care for you and believe in you and empower you, and you're going to run, Timothy. It's not about us comparing with the other grandmas and other. And even when Timothy succeeds, it's not about, hey, yeah, we have the most successful child. Isn't that awesome? Look at us. No, God has put you in a position. Every woman in here, God has put you in a position to rise up the next and say, actually, I don't need to be the best at any of this. Because sometimes if we're the best at it, we're actually going to be disappointed if our kids aren't the best. Oh, my kids aren't giving me the best name around town. Oh, they're failing. Oh, they're rebelling. I can't go to church. I can't go be seen in that place with my kid doing what he's doing on the weekends. I can't do that. Why? Because mothering has become about you. But if it's about the kid, you show up at church and you say, my kid is walking through some challenge and difficulty, and all the other moms and all the other dads and uncles and aunts who are in this place start saying, we're going to fight for that kid and believe for that kid and trust for that kid with you, because we're in this together. We do it together. Mother's Day is not just about a mom being a mom. It's about kids becoming who they're meant to be and us celebrating those who are helping them do that. Worship team, would you just come on up here? I'm so thankful for all the women in this church who have decided to care for younger generations. One of the neat things that I saw in this church right when I showed up here is that the older generation seems to actually believe in the younger generation. They seem to actually think something could happen. They don't look at the news the same as everyone else looks at the news. They don't see all the things that everyone else sees. They see hope. They see something good. They see something positive. And they, in fact, I think they might take the stance of the rightful mom here and say, I actually don't really mind if someone else is doing most of the mentorship, most of the development, most of the growth. If my kid is going to someone else and growing, all that matters is they're growing. All that matters, they're becoming who they're supposed to become. It doesn't matter if I do it or someone else does it. A mothering heart says the kid needs to become who the kid is supposed to be, not the mom supposed to be who the mom's supposed to be only. Moms, I hope today what you can see is that God doesn't need you to be perfect. And in fact, even if you haven't been perfect up until now, and you feel like your kids are a terrible testimony to your parenting, I want you to hear that God used these women and the smartest person in the world sent home a baby with the mom because the mom said, I want this kid to live. I want this kid to know life. When the stance for us, when the stance for the women in this church is that we believe for the coming generation and we believe that there's something special that's moving in them and that we can believe in them and we want life for them and it's not just about us and we're willing to hand over the torch and we're willing to pass it on. We're willing to stop being all about us as a parent but all about them as the ones who are rising up. Then all of a sudden we're going to see some special things happening in this church. And it started. But I think there's so much more. I think there's so much more. So today, if today you are a woman who is committing, saying, I'm for the next generation becoming who they're meant to be, even if it's not me who's doing it, even for my own kids, I'm committed to walking with people who maybe aren't my own kids and supporting my sister or brother and standing alongside other people's kids as well. I'm committed in this church to be part of the moving forward of the kids and the youth within this church. If today that's you, whether you're a biological mother or not, would you just stand up so we can pray for you? If you say, I'm a woman who believes for the next. I'm cheering on the next. It makes you a mom. It makes you a mom today. I'm cheering on the next. Lord, thank you for these mothers' hearts. I know that I am who I am because of my mom. In so many ways, I know that. God, I thank you that in these moms, you know, there are some people here who are moms and are biological moms. There are other women who are standing and saying, I don't have kids, but I'm behind the next and I'm for the next. God, I pray we'd be open to whatever you're going to do with our youth and with our kids in this church. And thank you for these open hearts. Thank you for these ladies who are saying, I believe what you have, God. I believe what you have for them. God, I pray that you would just allow your healing to come into hearts that feel like they failed as moms. Your healing to come into hearts that feel like on Mother's Day all they can think of about is the mom that they've lost. God, I pray for empowerment and big dreams for those who have felt like or whose body has told them they can't have kids, Lord. I pray that they would start to dream bigger for what you might want to do through them, God, that maybe you're going to heal that, maybe you're going to give them kids. I pray they'd be willing to pray for that. But Lord, I pray they'd also be willing to open up their eyes and open up their heart to say, if there's something else, if it's fostering, if it's adoption, if it's leading a school, you know, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that these women would be willing to walk the life that pushes the next forward, that believes for the next generation. Thank you for these ladies. Help them to feel loved today. Help them to feel empowered today. Help them to feel hopeful today about the future of this world, the next generation. We love you, God, and you love these ladies. You love them. You love their hearts. Let them be cherished today. Let them be cherished today, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.